Say good morning to you. Welcome to Hebron in the Saviour's name. Tried to get round just walking up the aisles to most of you, at least to say hello from a distance. And we're glad that you're here in God's house. Going to worship the Lord as we sing together the hymn number 8. We do not stand to sing, but we do sing. And it's part of the worship of God. Ye servants of God, your master, proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name. The name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious. He rules over all. I hope you're able to see it. This is brightness, and hopefully you can see it, because that turns into a solo if you can't read the words, and that wouldn't be good. But we'll do our best to worship the Lord. In the singing of this hymn, let's sing with all of our hearts. On the Lord's Day, and we take them just as we come to them consecutively, and we come to the great 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm, known to all of us, and yet we trust never loses the meaning and the wonderful teaching that we have in this Psalm, that the Lord is our Shepherd. May we know that in reality as we come to the house of God today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we bow together and pray? Our Father in heaven, it is a joy, always a joy, to come to the house of God. We pray that there'll always be that quickening in our steps, in our approach to this place where God is honored and worshiped, and were much as made of Jesus Christ, our blessed Saviour. We pray that we'll always know that inward thrill of heart as we assemble together as a people of God to praise your name, to glory in the Lord, and to seek fellowship with thee most of all. We know that there is that fellowship together as the believing church, the people of God, as we have that kindred spirit, the one with the other, in the body of Christ. But as John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want that to be so much central to all that happens here. And though we enjoy that fellowship with the Lord's people in the house of God today, yet we thank thee that we look away from each other, we fix our gaze upon the great God of glory, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, who gives us the very life that we have, the breath in our bodies, the one who has redeemed us with the blood of his own Son, and brought us into personal union with Christ. And we want to meet with this God today in the hymns that we sing, in the Word of God that we read together, in the exposition of the Scriptures. And so we pray that preparation of heart will be granted to us. If preparation has not been made already, Lord, forgive us for that. But we have sought to prepare our hearts in some measure, coming to this place today, coming in, taking our place in the house of God, and just even taking that moment to look away to the Lord, that he might prepare us a little bit further as we sit here, as we worship here. We cry to thee for forgiveness. We pray that our sins will be dealt with, recognizing that the one thing that obstructs fellowship with God is our sin. It separates us between God and ourselves, and so we come afresh to the blood of the Savior, and we pray that thou wilt wash us and make us clean. We say in the words of the hymn writer, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, make me clean." And fit us, Lord, for this hour, for this season of worship. Grant us the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that he lives and reigns in the hearts of his people. We thank thee that when we were saved, the Holy Spirit entered, when we were born of God. But he did not leave us. He came to take residence within our hearts, to lead us, direct us, to guide us, to show us the way in which we ought to walk. And so we pray for his help now, that he will enable us to worship God in the beauty of holiness and to prescribe the glory that's due thy great name. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, and he has saved so many of us. He has redeemed us by his own blood. We're bought with a price. We belong to him. We're glad to be able to serve him every day, to walk with him. And Lord, we thank thee that he is the shepherd of our souls also. We've been singing or reading this psalm together, the 23rd psalm, so well known and yet so precious. We thank thee that we can still say in our Christian experience, though saved for many years, the Lord is still our shepherd. I shall not want. We thank thee for all the provision of the shepherd that this psalm speaks about. And we praise thee that one day we will go to be with him forever, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray that thou wilt remember this congregation, every family belonging to it, others who have come to join us today, maybe holidaying in this area, maybe live in this locality. We pray that together we will know God's blessing in this house today. For those that are listening in on the internet, bless them also. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon each one. We praise thee for our souls that have been saved in recent times. We thank thee that though there have been many disadvantages with the coronavirus, yet the Lord has opened doors that we could never have imagined, and the gospel has gone forth in so many places, and the work has been done. And we know this is all according to the divine purpose and the outworking of God's ways and plans in the earth. And we just pray that through it all, that God will be glorified, We do pray for an end of the pestilence according to your will and according to your time. We pray that you will bring healing to the land and the nation, to the hearts of the people, and that we might be turned to thee. Lord, hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We bid you welcome again in the Saviour's name to those in the church and those that are listening to this service on the internet. Tonight is the gospel service at 7 o'clock, and Gregory Gibson, who's with us, and Gregory, good to see you. Not too sure whether you go by your full name of Gregory or it's abbreviated to Greg. We'll ask Rebecca about that one. But it's good to have you both and Daniel in the house of God today visiting this weekend. And there is good news, because over the past little while, Gregory has been preparing for the future, feeling the call of God in his life. And that's always a very precious thing. And he believes that the Lord has called him into the ministry to be a preacher of the word. And there are steps to go through, and most of those steps have been taken, if not all of them. He's met with the Commission of Presbytery. He gave his testimony last Friday night at Presbytery. And he, together with three others, have been accepted. I'll mention their names just in a moment or two, for training in the ministry of God's word. Tonight he will give his testimony how the Lord saved him by grace, and look forward to that. Thursday night is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I'll be here to lead, but over the next number of Thursday nights, our students will be responsible for bringing a message before we get down to prayer. And Alejandro Bernabeu, who's with us today, Vanessa's not coming out to church these days. We understand that, because very, very soon they will have an addition to the family, and it's probably good for her just to keep apart from the rest of us and to keep safe. But Alex, good to have you today. We look forward to a couple of messages that you'll bring, God willing, over the next two Thursday nights. Next Lord's Day, the worship service is at 12, gospel meeting at 7. And the will of the Lord, I'll be here to preach the word. Again, we thank you for your tithes and offerings and all the funds that you bring into the church for God's work. And we have collection plates at the door. We don't lift the offering publicly in these days of the virus. I want to acknowledge some missionary contributions towards, first of all, the minibus. We made an appeal last Lord's Day, and half of the money has come in. That's amazing. Whatever comes in, we will give out. £4,050 plus €50 has come in, and a little more this morning. The Indian Orphan Project, a gift of £500 was received. And for the water pump and the toilet that we mentioned in Pakistan, money has come in for that, which will cover that in the incoming week. So thank you in the Lord's name. A call was extended to the Reverend Thomas Laverty to our congregation in Florida, and he has accepted that. And whenever things allow him to go there with what's happening in the world with COVID-19, then the Lord's servant will emigrate. Call also to Lisburn was received and accepted by the Reverend Roger Higginson, our minister in Coleraine, and the installation service is planned for Friday the 18th of September. So pray for the men who have been called, who have gone or accepted the call to go to these congregations, and pray for the vacancy that will be left up the road in Coleraine. Is always a difficult time when a minister leaves a church to go to another, and we trust that the Lord be with the Reverend Higginson and the Reverend Laverty in these days. Students accepted for the ministerial training in our college: Jonathan Eccles from Porto Vogue, Gregory Gibson from Liverpool, though he hasn't got a Liverpool accent, you'll hear that tonight, Stephen Greer from Ballymena, and Johnny Jordan from Macrofelt. And these men will start their studies in September. Do pray for them. The Holiday Bible Club, organised by the Mission Board, commences tomorrow morning. So children, you can tune into that on the Mission Board website at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and through to Friday the 24th. Continue to pray for the ministry here in Hebron, Sunday services, the Youth Challenge, which will be coming up very soon now in the month of August, for our students as they prepare to go back to Bible College in September, Alex, Jonathan and David. During COVID-19, pray for protection, for the comfort of the word to be special in the hearts of God's people in these days, for gospel opportunities that are given, and for conversions. And we're so glad to hear about people being saved in these times. And just yesterday, and one of our members had been doing a lot of spade work over the past few years, sowing the seed of the gospel. And yesterday, in just outside the town or the village of Ahacho, there was a mother and her daughter came to trust in Christ as Saviour. We had the joy of going down with Julie yesterday and speaking to this family. And although the daughter, I would believe, came to Christ some little while ago, she just wanted to make sure that it was right and she was right with the Lord. And both of them prayed the sinner's prayer, called on the Lord. The mother is in her 80s and her daughter is in her 50s as far as I know. But we rejoice with them. God is good. Pray for the children and the young people of the church and the seniors as well. And do remember the Minister Elders Committee, Sunday school teachers, the children's workers, the youth workers, parents and toddlers, senior fellowship, and the Christian school, the teachers and the pupils. I know that workers are needed for Youth Challenge, and Andrew has half, he's gone out now, but he has half of the workers. He was making an appeal to others to come on board, and I know that some of you are about to do that, just haven't got round to it, but it needs to be done now this weekend, so that we know where we are by way of preparation. We continue to remember those that are on the front line. Some cases have increased in the North Antrim area, the Mavady area, and more cases of COVID-19 have come into the emergency service departments of our hospitals. So we do need to keep in prayer for the staff and for the sick and the needy of the congregation. And those that are connected to us, we uphold them at the throne of grace and prayer. We remember our missionaries here at home and abroad, and the various countries where the gospel is still being spread. Again, not sure what you're seeing up here, but food aid at Emmanuel Christian School has been going out again. And just yesterday, crowds of people from the little villages round about Emmanuel Christian School came to receive some food packages to help them as they struggle at this time. There is a container project to provide more office space, and just the past few days some of the work has been done, so you see, maybe you can see, if you're listening on the internet you definitely will, but the windows are cut out and the doors, and the renovation work has begun. And again yesterday, emergency food distribution has taken place in Nepal. The Reverend Thapa has visited churches 200 kilometres west of Kathmandu, and the distribution has taken place. I listened to one of the videos, you could just hear the rain pouring down, but I assumed that the temperatures were pretty hot, because even though the rain was coming down, they were still just in short sleeves. The opportunity was given to preach this morning to a tribal people in Pakistan. We've been having this opportunity now for several weeks. And we met with these people, lovely just to see them. This is one of the young ladies reading my text from the Urdu Bible. I was able to preach this morning on three appearances of Christ in Hebrews chapter 9, one in the past, one in the present, and one in the future. And I trust that it has been a blessing. There's a little orphan boy afterwards, it was pointed out to me, he's got a broken arm. So he didn't get to one of our accident and emergency hospitals, but I was able to see to have it strapped up with pieces of cloth and 2 6-inch rulers. All right, so that's the treatment that he's getting. But it was lovely to meet some of the young people. This young lady quoted verses from the Bible, and Fridas, that's our sister's daughter who does the translation for me, she was also quoting from God's word, and that was followed by food distribution. There was an appeal made for a water pump and a toilet in that other place that we were preaching at last Lord's Day, and we're glad to say that that has been funded and we'll be able to send it out this week. The gospel is preached and food parcels are distributed in Pakistan through this other dear lady, Freya, including 25 widows who came along to receive this encouragement. We struggle somewhat in this country. Well, they struggle much more where they are. And then there was food distribution to the orphans in India, the 70 orphans that we're seeking to support over the next number of years. And then another pastor who's been in touch with me from India for some time, he requested help for 20 street children. And thankfully, we're able to send a little to help these children. I want you to pray for four pastors in India who have contracted COVID-19. And one of the pastors, this is the man and his wife, he is in ICU. Now, the names you'll not be able, well, maybe you will, but I can't pronounce. But just remember the pastor who was so ill in India, connected to Dipankar and Ravi. Thankful for the progress made in the container project and what we're seeking to do. I want to thank those who donated PVC windows and in the near future doors as well. That's all the announcements. We sing together 572. 572. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. There is a little picture of one of the orphans in India and the caption, pray for the orphans in India. And they're at the door coming in. Most of you got it on Thursday night. If you didn't get one, there should be some there. Just before we sing the hymn, I have a card here to read from Nigel Sharon and Sophie to the Minister Session Committee and Congregation of Hebron. I'd like to express my sincere appreciation and thankfulness for the love, support, and prayers that were shown over the past year. And there's thanks to the minister here, so I'll not read that wee paragraph. Also, can we thank the congregation for their prayers and encouragement? As a family, we are indebted to you all, and we're very grateful that the Lord has given us a loving and praying church family at Hebron. Thank you in the Saviour's name. Nigel, Sharon, and Sophie, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. And one other card to read. There are a lot of cards and letters come in from people who were listening over the past 3.5 months, 4 months now, every day to the wee videos that were going out. And practically in every card, there was some help given for the missionary work. I just want to read this one because it is addressed to the Reverend Park Elders Committee and members of Hebron. I just want to say a big thank you to you all for including me in your church family and for praying for me faithfully every week on a Lord's Day and Thursday evening as a member of the NHS during the COVID-19 pandemic. I really valued your prayers as I worked as a frontliner in the delivery suite at Craigavon Area Hospital. Certainly felt the presence, the peace of God, where initially there was so much fear amongst the staff while dealing with a new live virus when so little was known about it. I definitely knew God's presence and have felt his hand of protection upon me during my shifts. I am greatly indebted to the prayers of God's people. We give God all the praise, honour and glory. We can truly say in Lamentations 3:23, great is thy faithfulness. May the Lord continue to richly bless you all as a congregation. Thank you for your faithfulness to me in the house of prayer. Thank you all so much, every blessing. And that's from our sister Anne Davidson. And she has written, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And that's a little quote from Corrie Ten Boom. A wonderful Saviour.
Amen. time that last verse with the music. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 16. We've been doing a little study in the life of Asa the king, and we came to the sixth message last Lord's Day and just brought the first point. So we come back to this sixth message, the faltering king, and we want to read the same verses that we read last Lord's Day, the opening 10 verses of chapter 16. In the sixth and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. May God bless his word to every heart for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding. And we want to meditate these minutes now as we think on this message again of the faltering king and the way that Asa finished his days on earth. May we learn from it. May the Holy Spirit apply to our minds and hearts those things that we need to hear and understand. Speak, Lord, for thy servants heareth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very sadly, the last few years of Asa's reign and ministry were filled with decline. He reigned for 40 years, and this is now the 36th year of his reign, as we know from verse 1. We learn things about this man that I wish I didn't have to say, but God is faithful. He puts into the record of divine truth the mistakes of the dearest and the most eminent saints and servants of God. We find out that Asa failed in two areas of his life in his latter years. He failed in a time of war, and God willing, as we'll see next week, he failed in a time of sickness. The first war that he had was the war with Zerah, the Ethiopian. And we read about that back in chapter 14. The second war that he had was with Baasha, king of Israel. And that's what we've read in the opening 10 verses of this chapter. The first time he was a man who trusted in the Lord, and he saw victory. Verse 11 of chapter 14 tells us about the great victory that God wrought for him. But in the second time, he fails to trust, he fails to pray, he fails to confide in God. He got his eyes of the Lord, and he entered into an alliance with the ungodly. We suggested to you last Lord's Day, it's not the first mile that really counts, it's often the second mile. It's not how we commence and even continue. Those things are important. How we begin the Christian life and how we go on with God in our continuance in the Christian life, but how we conclude, how we finish our days on earth with the Lord. And so written over the concluding years of Asa's life are the words of warning, take heed lest ye fall. The Lord has solemn lessons to learn and searching truths to imprint. And last Lord's Day, we dealt with the first point, the iniquitous alliance, which we have from verse 2 through to verse 4. Asa trusted in the ungodly. He not only trusted in an ungodly king and army, but he chiefly failed to trust in the Lord at all. And we said to you that he made a league with a heathen king. He bribed an ungodly man to break an agreement that he had with Baasha. He took gold and silver out of God's house to use for this wicked purpose. He caused an ungodly army, the army of Ben-Hadad, to smite cities of Israel, his people, and he missed the opportunity of a great victory over Baasha and Ben-Hadad that the Lord undoubtedly would have given him if he had trusted in the Lord. And the application, of course, is you need to guard your relationships, you need to watch your friendships, you need to be wary about your alliances, and you need to protect and keep safe the work of Jesus Christ. Now we come to our second thought, and we have it here in verses 5 and 6, and it is the infamous achievement. Seems to be a great achievement here. Verse 5, therefore the king of Israel gathered together. I'm reading the wrong. Need to go back to verse 5, reading the next chapter. Came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So he had success, it seems, in this conflict. His plan succeeded. Ben-Hadad sent his military forces into Israel and attacked the northern border, and this created a powerful diversion and caused Baasha to cease building Ramah, which was on the border of the two kingdoms, and muster his forces to the defense of his own country in the north. This allowed Asa not only to demolish the fortifications of Baasha, but to seize the materials and to convert them to his own use. So you could say that there was success here, there was achievement, There was victory. Asa has forgotten God. He has neglected prayer. He has failed to trust in the Lord for help. He has trusted in the ungodly. He has entered into an alliance with a heathen king. He has misused the treasury of God's house. He has done harm to his sister kingdom, his fellow brother, and lo and behold, he prospers. He finds success. He accomplishes his purpose. But do not think for one moment that he was right in what he had done. He acted thoughtlessly, carelessly, selfishly, and carnally. And yet there seems to be an apparent blessing and triumph. But what he did was wrong. Wrong to his neighbor, wrong to his people, and wrong before God. And the Lord reproved him for it. You can enter into alliances and agreements and confederacies and arrangements with the ungodly to prosper your own cause, to gain your victories, to achieve your goals. But it's wrong. You can offend the Lord. You can mar your testimony. You can bring the work of God into disrepute. You can shame your witness. You can damage your influence. You can hurt the church of Jesus Christ immensely. Just because there seems to be advancement and achievement and attainment, there was for Asa, does not mean that what we do is right. I can take you to churches where people assemble in their droves, but God is not there. I could show you places of worship that appear to have success, but Ichabod is written over the door. You just need to go on to the God channel and other Sky television broadcasts and watch some of the things happening there, some of the places of so-called worship, and you will be alarmed as a child of God. I'm not recommending that you go on to these channels, but if you did, you will know that much of what's happening there is wrong in the sight of the Lord. And these things need to be said. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. This is the era of deception. And Jesus warned of a time when many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And these false prophets would be so powerful and influential that they would be able to publicly demonstrate great signs and wonders, in so much, if it were possible, the very elect of God would be deceived. Paul spoke about the age of Antichrist, when God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. My dear friends, success, popularity, achievement is not our chief aim. We want primarily to be faithful to God. On the great day, when you and I as believers come to stand before the Lord, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord is not going to say on that day, "Well done, thou good and successful servant," "Well done, thou good and prosperous servant," or "famous servant," or "popular servant," or "crowd-pulling servant." No, it's faithful. Now, yes, we want God's blessing. We want to see the work of God grow. We want to see spiritual prosperity, the increase that the Bible speaks about. We want to see souls added to the church, but not at the expense of truth. We do not desire victory and success that is built on compromise or falsehood or error or evil alliances. I want you to notice something else as you come to verse 7 through to 9. There is the inspired admonishment. God sends a man. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and hast not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a large host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord. He delivered them into thine hand. If you want to mark these words, God sent a man, a faithful man, an inspired man. Hananiah the seer came. And we thank God for a faithful man, a courageous servant, a fearless prophet. A plain, direct, steadfast rebuke was given to the king by a prophet of the Lord. There are several matters that could be highlighted concerning the faults and the failures of the king. We have mentioned a number already. But that which the prophet particularly charges the king of is his reliance upon the king of Syria and not upon God. Now, that was the greatest fault, the greatest flaw and failure. Hadn't he trusted before? Well, he's reminded about that in verse 8. Did you not trust the last time in a war situation? Asa acted against experience. Wasn't God a God of power and protection? He's reminded about that in the opening part of verse 9. Asa therefore acted against knowledge, the knowledge that he had of God and his providence. He was not ignorant of the fact that God governed the world in infinite wisdom, that his creatures and all their ways were constantly before him, and he governs the world for the good of his people, working out his counsels in love. He's able to protect no matter what, so Asa should have depended upon the Lord. Well, God has sent a man to confront him and to boldly proclaim, "Thou hast done foolishly." Matthew Henry said, "It's a foolish thing to lean upon a broken reed when we have the rock of ages to rely upon." God is so much displeased when he is distrusted. And when the arm of the flesh is relied upon more than his goodness and his power. We need courageous men today to speak out against sin, to speak out against departure and evil alliance and wicked partnerships and false doctrine. We need servants of Christ to speak out lovingly and courageously for the glory of God and declare, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou art the man. Thou art to blame." Then I want you to look at verse 10, because here we have the inadvisable him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Though this message came from the Lord by one who was known to be his messenger, though this message was right and it was just and it was for Asa's good, the king was angry with the prophet. He throws him into a prison house. He treats him as a criminal. He puts him in stocks, as some read it, and then he proceeds to oppress some of the people, probably those who were of the same mind as the prophet or his friends who had supported him in his sufferings. He took it out on others. Hananiah didn't deserve this treatment. He was only being faithful in the message that he brought. And his friends certainly did not deserve the treatment and the persecution. Do you see what happens in the heart and the life of a man who begins to lose out with God? A man who is not walking right with the Lord. He not only departs in his walk and fellowship with his master and maker, but he begins to abuse those who rebuke him. He gets angry. He gets filled with rage and resentment. Proverbs 15 and 22 says, "He that refuseth instruction or correction despiseth his own soul." You know, the most difficult aspect of friendship is letting a man know, when it's necessary, his faults and his errors. Men do not like to be told their faults, especially when their heart is not right with God. If a believer loves the Lord and has failed and fallen short of what he ought to be, if his heart is soft towards the Lord, if he is submissive in the hand of God, then he will be glad to receive reproof. He will be glad when his errors are pointed out. When Nathan told King David, "Thou art the man," after his grievous sin with Bathsheba, David's heart was melted. He was conscience stricken, and he confessed, "I have sinned. I've sinned against the Lord." And he found forgiveness. But when Asa was told, "Thou hast done foolishly," his reaction was abysmal. The response of a carnal heart, a man who has lost out with God, a king who is backslidden, a child of God who is out of touch and out of fellowship with the Lord. Is this Asa? Is this the man whose heart was perfect with God all his days? A wise man, a godly man, a prayerful man, a trusting man? Look at him now. Mourn over his decline, his downward spiral. And then remember, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. A man of faith, but he stopped trusting. A man of prayer, but he stopped praying. A man of wisdom, but he cannot be told about his faults. A man of spirituality, but he's in a rage. He displays the characteristics of a carnal man. I pray, O God, keep me from sin. Keep me from failure, from decline, from doubts, from prayerlessness. Keep me from self-confidence. Keep me from taking steps that brings me downward. Have mercy upon me. Keep my eyes on the Lord. Keep me faithful. Keep me right in my heart. Keep my relationships and my partnerships right, my alliances, my attitudes. No one can tell where we might end when we cease trusting and praying and walking with God. Asa ended in disgrace and shame. The last things that are written about him are not good, and he goes to the grave in failure. And I just want to finish by saying that's not the way to meet God, brethren and sisters. That's not the way to live our closing days in this world. It's not the way to leave this life and to go out into eternity to meet the Lord. And so we ought to pray, "Lord, keep me every day, right until the end of the journey. Keep me in old age. Keep me in disaster times. Keep me in crisis times. Help me, Lord, to finish well, to run the race well and come to my concluding days in the victory of the gospel and to the glory of God." The hymn writer said, "Be strong in the Lord, rejoicing in his might. Be loyal and true day by day. When evils assail, be valiant for the right, and he will be our strength and stay." May we learn this day from this king that lived so many years ago, because God has lessons for us to apply to our hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do not want to conclude our days like this man did. We do not forget the kind of a believer he was, a man that loved the Lord, a man who walked with God, a man in the general sense lived a life that was glorifying to God for the majority of his days. And yet here, in that latter little period of his life, he fails. And Father, we don't want to fail. When temptation comes, when trial comes, when trouble overtakes us, when we get older, when we come to the end of the journey, we want to be able to live those last years to the glory of God, even in a fuller way, if that's possible, serving the Lord to the end, walking with God to the end, bringing glory to our blessed Savior. Lord, that's the way we want to meet the Lord and to be able to hear the well done, good and faithful servant on that day. And so keep us, Lord, from sin and backsliding and disgrace and shaming our testimony in any way. Put a hedge of your protection round about your people. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. O Lord, we want to keep our eye on that text. Keep us from falling. And may we be presented that day in the manner in which this text speaks. Separate us now with your blessing. And remember us tonight, Lord, as Greg comes to give us testimony. Fill him with your Spirit. Make it a blessing to all who hear, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for worshiping in Hebron today. May the Lord bless you. You will be leaving in an orderly fashion. The stewards will help you to get out in a way that makes it safe for you and everybody else. Thank you.